Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight it's my pleasure to welcome Joe Nunziata. He's a best-selling author, spiritual life and business coach, and professional speaker who teaches that to make permanent changes, you must clear your negative energy and break destructive patterns of behavior at the core level. The transformational process that Joe developed enables people to create new energy and beliefs designed to achieve sustained positive growth in all areas of life. Since 1992, Joe has been delivering his life-changing message at events and seminars. His programs blend spirituality, psychology, philosophy, and the power of internal energy. Joe's work led him to author several books, including the soon-to-be-released Chasing Your Life, Karma Buster, Spiritual Selling, Finding Your Purpose, and No More 9-to-5. He has created many audio, video, and written programs, including Change Your Energy, Change Your Life, No More Mental Barriers, Connecting to Your Spirit, and The 7 Keys to Transformation. Joe now helps all types of people, from executives and entrepreneurs to stay-at-home mothers, to dissolve the emotions and beliefs that stand between them and the achievement of their desires. He is continuing to spread his message throughout the world through speaking engagements, media appearances, and his books and products. You can change your life when you are willing to uncover and face your negative feelings and beliefs. And to find out more about Joe, you can go to joenunz.com. That's Joe's, joenunz.com. So check that out, folks. And so let me welcome Joe. Once again, Joe, how are you tonight?
Thank you so much, Dave. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I'm really looking forward to delving into how we develop negative patterns and what we can do to break free from them.
Yeah, it's obviously a very big part of our lives, and it's something that we want to understand what those patterns are there for and the purpose that they serve, and then, of course, how to get out of those cycles.
Well, where do they come from?
Well, you know, I look at it from different perspectives. I've studied and worked in a lot of areas. And, you know, basically, we all come here with an emotional mission. We come here to accomplish things purposefully, like we have a purpose. And then we also come to have emotional experiences. So we do come with, in effect, some baggage, so to speak, or karmic energy that we come to have these emotional experiences. And the way we have them is obviously through events and difficulties and challenges. So that's really what they're there for. They do serve a purpose. We are here to do that. But we also, as we enlighten ourselves or become more aware, we realize I don't have to stay in those patterns. I can, you know, clear those patterns, break those patterns, and then begin to move forward in a positive way. So the idea behind it is, am I going to be one of the people who does that, or will, which we know a lot of people stay in those cycles their whole lives. So again, it's not good, bad, right, wrong. It's just different journeys for different people. But those patterns of negativity that we see them as are there for a purpose, and they do serve us.
Well, I trust that you believe in reincarnation when you're talking about karma.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. I grew up Catholic, which, of course, they don't believe in reincarnation. So when I started studying this work, it was conflicting with the Catholic religion because, you know, they don't believe in that. So that was one of those things. But, yeah, certainly I do. And I've actually done past life regressions and many things like that as well. So, yes, absolutely.
Well, how are these cycles connected to karma?
Well, let's say karmically, if we look at it from an emotional, everything is emotional here for us in the physical world. You know, we come here to have this emotional experience. So let's say, for example, I came to have a specific feeling. One of my big feelings in this lifetime is disappointment. So the way it works from the cycle of karma would be we actually selected our parents before we came because they had the right DNA makeup and the right emotions for us to pick up, so that we could have that experience. So that's kind of where it begins, and then you have those emotional desires embedded into your DNA. So let's say, for example, in my case, I had a desire to experience the feeling of disappointment. That was one of the main feelings, and we all have all the same feelings, but we'll have more emphasis on certain ones that we really came to experience at a higher level. So for me, that was one of mine, so I picked up all that energy, came here with that desire. My soul said, okay, Joe, you came here to feel disappointment. We're going to place you, you're going to place yourself, in effect, in situations and circumstances to feel that emotion. So that's kind of how the cycles begin, and that's the genesis of how it starts.
How do we identify our negative patterns?
Well, obviously, one of the things we want to look for is repetition. So we start to see the same things happening over and over again. And I think, you know, it's funny, a lot of people I will speak to and a lot of people I've coached and counseled over the years, you know, they'll know, they'll say to me, you know, I keep doing this. They know, a lot of them can identify what it is. So what you want to do is kind of look at yourself and say, okay, what's happening? What do I keep seeing over and over again? What keeps happening? But what people don't do, the reason they get stuck is they think it's happening to them as opposed to understanding that they're creating it to feel this emotion. So you need to change how you see it in order to go forward and heal it. You can't heal it if you keep thinking, oh, wow, look what keeps happening to me. That is something that you don't want to do because that's where you're going to get yourself stuck. So you have to see it as I'm creating this situation based on this desire to feel this emotion, which is why I'm bringing this into my consciousness. You have to kind of shift the way you process it, and that will help you start to move forward.
Well, when you say that we come into this life to experience certain emotions, I mean, obviously, certain ones feel better than other ones. Is that not to say that we can't reach for the next best feeling, if you will?
Well, you can reach for anything you want, but you feel what you feel. So the bottom line is, if I feel upset and I feel disappointed, that is how I feel. Now, I can try to make believe I don't, but the problem with that is, and I've gone through this with people too, like positive thinking, and they say, oh, I just want to be positive and I want to focus on the positives. I said, well, that's all well and good, but you don't feel that way. So what you're really doing is you're trying to trick yourself into saying, I'm really upset about this, or I really feel a certain emotion here. But instead of feeling that emotion, what I'm going to do is I'm going to trick myself or try to be positive about it. But I really don't feel that way. So now what happens is, because you didn't deal with the emotion, you in effect held it in your body, in your what we call your chakra system, your energy system, and that energy stays with you and in effect recycles and goes back out and then recreates another situation. So the idea that I'm going to dismiss it or make believe it's not there, that's not a good way to go.
Okay. Well, I guess I certainly understand what you're saying. I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can discharge the emotion to move on so that we don't need to stay stuck in it.
Yeah, so the way we discharge the emotion is to actually accept that we have it and then allow ourselves to feel it. So, for example, I actually learned this process through meditation, but you could even do it as something is happening. So what happens is if you have a situation that made you upset, the way you discharge the energy is to say, yes, this is how I actually feel. I have to allow myself, and I use the word allow because many of us have not been allowed to feel our feelings as we were growing up. So
right.
I say, you know, you have to let yourself, wow, I really feel upset about this. And what am I actually, what is the real emotion? Because upset is like on the surface. I need to go deeper. So if I say, well, I really feel disappointed, I want to allow myself to feel that feeling. That releases the energy. So therefore, once that energy is released, because I've now let myself feel it, I do not have the desire to keep recreating it over and over again. Because now it's almost like I dealt with it, so I don't have to keep doing it over and over again. But a deeper, deeper emotion, you may have to experience many times before you really get it out of your energy system.
That makes sense to me. Absolutely, I can relate to that. Okay, well, so if people are aware of the cycles and can't seem to stop it, what should they do?
Well, what they have to do, the first thing is to kind of say to themselves, I have to accept that I'm creating the cycle. So this becomes the first step, because what people do is they usually go into victim energy of saying, look what's happening to me, and I can't get a break, and why do things always work out like this? So
right.
The first thing I say to people is, what do you generally do when you go through one of these episodes or difficulties? And people have a routine. So some people will self-medicate. They'll drink or do drugs or whatever they'll do. Other people will put the energy on somebody else. Maybe they'll yell and scream or force it onto another person. Maybe they'll get very quiet and depressed. That's what I used to do, because that was the way I learned how to process. There's different things that we do. So you have to look first at your own self and say, what do I generally do when this happens? What do I generally do? And I have to stop myself from doing that, because that's holding you in that space. Because all you're doing is, in effect, self-medicating in some way, whether it's emotionally or with substances, and then you're not resolving the issue. So in effect, you're back to square one. So you have to look, what is it that you do? What is your routine that you go into? And be aware of that. And most people, once I start working with them, they'll say, oh yeah, I always do this. I always call one of my friends, and then I justify my situation. I want to be validated. Then they tell me I'm right, which is all ego. And then I feel better, and then I move on. But you didn't do anything. So you have to look first at what is your normal procedure, and then you have to stop doing that, because that's where you're going to get stuck right away.
Well, let's take the example of getting depressed and shutting down, because that's a behavior I can relate to. And I think that's the experience that a lot of people have that aren't allowed to feel their feelings as they're growing up. How can we break free of that pattern or even recognize it when it happens? Because depression can be very insidious, and a lot of times you don't recognize it until you're well into it.
Yeah, well, that was my thing. You know, I think I automatically just went there because I was so used to being depressed, so I just slid right into that space. So as I started to do the work, one of the things that I started to look at, I said, okay, wait a minute, stop and really think about, get into your emotion. What are you feeling? I actually had to learn to stop myself. So I said, before I get depressed, let me stop and identify, what do I really feel? This is really the crux of most of the work that I do with people, because people will say, well, I'm angry. I said, well, you're not angry. I said, that's your surface emotion. That's your surface feeling, so to speak. That's the thing that got your attention. But underneath all of these surface feelings is the actual emotion. So that's where I found the disappointment, because I might have been upset about something, but my real feeling, my real emotion was disappointment. So I learned to say, stop, and identify what you feel. And that was the beginning of me breaking the cycle, because I had to really say, yeah, what do I, and it took time, because I really grew up in an environment, grew up in New York, Brooklyn, Italian kid from Catholic school, you know, playing sports, boxing, tough kind of grown up. And this idea of now stopping and feeling emotion, this was like another planet for me. So it took a while before I said, okay, I had to really kind of grill myself to the point where repetition, of course, which is always important, and stopping myself, and then I would write it down. I'm a big note taker, journaler. So I said, let me sit down and write down what I'm feeling. And then that's how I started to learn how to say, oh, I really feel this. and then start to work on that emotion, that disappointment, and then start to really let myself feel it. So that was kind of the way I started to get myself out of it.
Well, I like journaling. That works really well for me. What would you say to other people that haven't tried that before?
I think it's tremendously powerful. I think it's something that everybody should be doing. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that people get caught up in, oh, I have to write in this journal every day. I said, no, I don't do that. I said, when I feel like it, I do. And sometimes I do write in it for a week every day, and then maybe I won't go back to it for a couple of weeks. I think it's important for us to sit down and, you know, there's something about writing in your own hand, especially that is very cathartic for everybody. I think it's important. And one of the exercises I give people when I work with them is I say, keep an emotional journal where you come home at the end of the day and start to just write down what your feelings were. Because what it does is it helps us start to really connect more to what we feel. So by coming home and saying, well, you know, today I did this and I felt this and I felt this, it starts to open up those channels of emotion and help you, it makes it easier to connect to these deeper emotions that we're blocking.
That makes sense. Absolutely. What about meditation? You talked about that earlier. How important do you think that is to a person in terms of maintaining a peaceful life?
Well, you know, obviously there's been a million studies on it that talk about the benefits of meditation. And I think, of course, for us, especially in the society that we live in today, the idea of getting quiet at all is huge. The idea of even, I would even say to people, just take a few moments in the morning to just be quiet before you go do your thing. Because most people I talk to, they'll say, you know, I get up and I, you know, jump in the shower and I run here. they're already in a frantic state before they even do anything. So think about how is your day going to unfold when you started your day already in this state of franticness. So I say to people, take a few minutes in the morning, get up. If you have to get up 10 minutes earlier, just get up a few minutes earlier and just sit down and just sit quietly. Even if you're not a meditator, just sit down and breathe and inhale and exhale deeply and on a three count and start to calm yourself. So your day starts off in a whole different vibration of energy. And I used to get a lot of resistance I live in California now, but when I lived in New York, I would talk about this, and this is years ago when I was, you know, doing this work a long time ago, and people, of course, oh, you know, how long do I have to do this, and I have to start meditating, I don't want to waste time, and, you know, all the New York answers that you would get. And I would say to people, I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you to do 1 minute in the morning, just 1 minute a day, and nobody could, you know, it's 1 minute, I'm not asking you to do an hour. And most of the people would come back to me and say, you know, I can't believe I started doing 1 minute and now I'm getting up a half an hour early and meditating for half an hour before I go to work, or go into my day. So it is something that the path of least resistance, everybody, of course, uses time as that obstacle. That's why they can't do it. So nobody could say, I don't have 1 minute. So that's kind of my way of tricking them into it, so to speak.
Well, I'd like to talk about your book, Finding Your Purpose. I'm very interested in that title. Can you tell me what that book is about?
Well, I wrote that book, and I actually give it away for free. So if any of your listeners want to get it for free, they can go to findingyourpurpose.com and download that book for free. And I wrote that book in 2008 after we had the big crash. So we had the big, of course, economic crash, and everybody was scrambling. And I knew a lot of people, you know, living in New York at that time who worked in banking and real estate who had lost jobs and were really having problems. And the book was really about understanding that you came here with a specific purpose and then understanding how to connect, or in effect reconnect, to why you're here. And I wanted people to look at themselves in a different way and say, okay, most people that I meet, and I'm sure you as well, when you say, you know, how did you select this career? Most people just say, I don't know, just kind of, you know, I knew somebody, my father knew somebody, I went to school and I just decided to do this. Or there's very few people who say, this is what I knew I wanted to do.
Right.
You know, we see this sometimes, like when I see, you know, musicians, or I see, you know, certain people say, I knew, I was watching a show the other day, and one of the guys on, who was one of the Yankee announcers, and he said, you know, I was 8 years old and I knew I wanted to be a broadcaster. But most people, that's not what happens. You know, you kind of grow up, depending on your family and so forth, with this idea, get a good job or, you know, get a a career or get in good companies, whatever we were taught. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're 40 years old or you're 50 years old and you say, Jesus, what am I doing here? What happened? And you never connected to why you're here. So the idea behind it is to really sit quietly and say, what is the thing, what are the things in life that bring joy to me? What are the things in life that get me excited? What is you should get up in the morning and be excited to get up. You should get up in the morning and feel like, I want to jump out of bed. I can't wait to go start doing my thing. So if you don't have that feeling, that means you're not doing what you're here to do. So look at what gets you excited. The other thing that I talk about in the book is look at the skill set that you have of things that come easy to you. So for example, there are people we know, I'm not a handy person. I can't screw in a light bulb, but I know people who could build amazing things. And anytime somebody came to my house to do work, I would look at them and like be enamored with what they were doing and say, oh my God, how do you do that? But since I'm a kid, I was able, you know, just very handy and things, it made sense to me. And I can't screw in a light bulb or fix the smallest little thing. So you want to go to your strength. What is it that comes easy? Now, for a lot of us, what came easy to us, maybe our families or where we grew up, the perception was not, well, that's not something you can do for a living. So again, these are all the things that got planted in our consciousness that took us away from what we're really here to do. And we're here to be purposeful. We're here to feel purposeful. When you feel purposeful, your life is so much better. So if you don't feel purposeful, that means you're not doing what you came to do. And that's really what I want to encourage people to do.
Well, I liked what you were saying about looking at those things that bring you joy, because a lot of people don't have a sense of purpose. They fall into certain jobs and they have no idea how they did that. And, you know, I think that what we're here to do is to discover, our purpose is such a fundamental thing that I wondered if you could say anything more about how people might go about discovering their purpose.
Well, again, I use written exercises, which I go through in the book, but, you know, it's about sitting down and making a list of things that you love to do. So that's a great way to start, because if you say, I love to be at the ocean, it's funny, I live now in California. Right now we had moved and we live right near the beach. And I see every morning these guys, all ages, men, women, all ages, walking down to the beach with the surfboards. And, you know, and sometimes I'll talk to them, say, hey, what's this? Oh, yeah, I'm living out here. I love the ocean. I surf. And then this one guy, he actually owns a store that sells surfing equipment. And he said, I love the ocean. This is what I came to. This was my life. This is what I always wanted to do. So, you know, it's interesting to watch people who have actually just kind of followed along with that while others have not. So write down these things and say, wow, I have such joy when I'm cooking. I have such joy. See, but again, then we don't think of it as this is something that I can do something with. It's just something like I like it. But that's not necessarily true, because you're really here to discover, as you said, and share. So you're here to discover yourself and then also share your skills and your passion with other people. So that's really what you – so if you have a passion for cooking and you just say, well, I just do it kind of on my own, you may be here to say, well, I'm really here to share this with other people. But maybe you just never saw it that way. You just saw it as a hobby you had, and you just cook for your family and everybody likes your food. Mm-hmm. If you really feel passionate about it, that may be something you should be pursuing.
Mm. Good point. Well, let's talk a little bit about your upcoming book. We were discussing that just before we went on the air, but maybe you would like to tell the listeners what Chasing Your Life is going to be about.
Well, you know, Chasing Your Life was, it took me 5 years to finish this because I was going back and forth with the idea of how I wanted to do it. And I think of it as a spiritual journey from stress to success and peace. That's the tagline of the book. And the book really came to me because of my dad. My dad was the youngest of 12 kids who grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And by the time he was born, his mother was obviously, you know, he was so far down the totem pole. So he always kind of had that feeling of wanting to, you know, get his mother's attention, so to speak, and was always chasing something that he was going to do that was going to make him known, make him loved, so and get him to that feeling of getting this attention that he so desired. And he chased one thing after another and ultimately led to his demise, and he died when I was just 12 years old. And the book was really about how that chasing, to a degree, is built into all of us, because we come here to this planet and we come to have this experience, and we're chasing emotion. But what we're really doing is we're chasing a feeling of love that we're trying to capture outside of ourselves. And ultimately, that never works, because you have to love yourself. So it's really about a journey of going from chasing externally to saying, I need to fulfill myself internally. I don't want to keep chasing. And I go through a series of exercises and things that people can do to get off the wheel. And, you know, a lot of people may say, yeah, you know, they feel that they're doing it, but they can't stop, because they don't understand that it's coded into our DNA to a degree to chase, because we are born with this desire to invent and improve. So the idea is to say, how do I balance this desire to invent and improve and create and be purposeful without chasing it? So that's really what the book is about, is learning how to balance these two things and have a fulfilling life without having that feeling of anxiety and stress and chasing after things all the time.
Well, it seems that to be human is to be addicted or attached to something, and that we do live in a world where we tend to look at things outside of ourselves, hoping that they'll make us feel better, and that does not work. What are some of the key things you could say about letting go of attachments?
Well, the idea is to say, you know, I think it's interesting because I went to Catholic school, which was very much about this poverty mentality and letting go of everything, and you know, that's the way you get closer to God. Which as I did work and really got into spiritual work and energy work, that's not really how we're meant to live. And the universe wants us to be prosperous and happy. So the idea is to say, It's fine. I can have what I want and I can enjoy it. The key is that I'm not attached to it. This is the difference. There's a difference between saying, I really love this car and I enjoy driving it and I have a lot of fun with it, to I have the car because I want to have the status attached to that car. So this is walking that fine line between ego and really just being self-realized and say, yeah, I want to have a nice house, or I want to do certain things, or I want to go on vacation, whatever it is that you want to do in the physical world, it's all good. The problems come into it when we start to get the attachment to, you know, and I know a lot of people, they're very attached to their job title. They're very attached to who they think they're supposed to be. So the attachment is the problem. It's not the things. It's not the car. It's not the money. It's not the nice suit. It's not the pair of shoes. It's the attachment to it that creates the disruption within ourselves. So people have to understand that and say, yeah, I'm allowed to have something nice. The key is when I attach myself to it, that's when I get in trouble.
Well, getting back to what we were talking about before, it seems that we tend to attach ourselves to these negative behaviors because we feel comfortable with them at a certain level. And I don't think we really talked about that aspect of it, and how that can make it very difficult to get in touch and let go.
Yeah, well, basically, the way I see it is, I see it as emotional addiction. So what happens for us as little kids, one of the things the exercises I do with people is I bring them back to their childhood home, and I always say, what was the feeling in the house? It's funny, whenever I ask people that question, a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, we had a nice house, and we had money, and we did. I said, that's not the question I'm asking you. I'm asking you, what was the feeling in the house? And when people say, oh, you know, we had a lot of anxiety, we had a lot of stress, there was a lot of fighting, there was this, there was that. So now that makes you understand your baseline, because you grew up in anxiety, stress, dysfunction. That became your normal emotion. That became what you feel is normal. So now, because you're holding that energy and you're vibrating that energy, there is a desire on some level to create that which is comfortable and that which you understand. So you understand stress, anxiety, tension, upset, drama. That's what you know how to do. So when I started doing this work, and I grew up in a very dysfunctional environment after losing my dad and just the whole fracturing of the family, as I started to get peaceful, I will tell you, you know, that I was feeling very strange because I didn't know how to be peaceful. I knew how to be upset. I knew how to be stressed. I knew how to be in distress. But the feeling of peace and calmness and self-love, these were not normal feelings for me. So it took a while to transition to that place where that became my home base, so to speak. But I think a lot of people think, well, it makes no sense. Wouldn't you want to be peaceful and happy and so forth? I said, yes, it makes no sense to your mind, but emotionally it makes perfect sense because that's very abnormal for you. So you have to understand that there is a transition from where you are, where you were, where you grew up to where you're trying to go. And it takes time to get to the place to make that comfortable. But people do get emotionally addicted to being upset. All you have to do is turn on your television, because the television, you could see the shows and these reality shows and the people fighting and throwing things at each other, whatever they're all, because this is, people relate to this because people like to have drama and upset. So you have to identify this within yourself and say, is this something that I'm used to, that I grew up with, that I've now become like in effect addicted to these feelings and emotions, and I'm stuck there?
Well, it takes a lot of self-examination and determination and courage to make those changes, I would imagine.
Yeah, and again, it's also being in truth and saying, yeah, you know, I'm stuck in this. This is one of the things that was very powerful for this work, really saying, yeah, you know what? I like this. This is what I'm used to. This is what I'm comfortable with. And these are things that people don't want to admit because they think it's so horrible. But when you admit it, you unburden yourself and you open up the door to let it go. When you fight against it and say, no, I'm really not like that. No, I really don't want to be like that. What you're doing is you're holding yourself in that space by resisting the truth.
Now, I've heard it said that what you resist persists.
Yeah, well, you just what you're doing is holding yourself in that same position because you're resisting what's really true. And you want to set yourself free. So you set yourself free by saying, okay, yeah, this is the truth. Right now, this is how I feel. I always use right now because you don't have to stay like that. But right now, yeah, I'm creating this because I do like to be in a state of drama and upset, and I understand that, and I'm accepting it so I can let it go, and that's the beginning of the healing process.
Now, do you do one-on-one work with people, or is it generally with groups of people in seminars?
I do limited one-on-one work, usually through a referral. I don't really put it out there as I used to. I used to do a lot of it early on when I started. I did a tremendous amount of coaching one-on-one. I still do some coaching, and most of my work now is groups and, you know, webinars, teleclasses, things like that, but I still do a little bit.
Okay. Well, let's take a caller. We've had a couple, and I have Donna here. Donna, you're live, honey.
Hi. Thank you, David. Hi.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
Good. How are you? Yeah, I want to get your book. I'm going to go online and get it. My problem is, like, I'm trying to lose weight and all, and I've had a lot of sadness in my life, just the way with growing up and then certain incidences that happened to me and all. And I think that what happens is, you know, I'll be losing weight and I'll start feeling good, and then it feels so uncomfortable to me that I go back to my other way of the eating and all. I don't know. I don't understand that, I guess. Yeah. It's hard to get out of that sadness, though, sometimes.
Well, what happens for you, Donna, in this case, is you start to feel better, and as you said, you feel discomfort, which is okay. So the first thing you want to do is accept the fact that there's discomfort. I think that's one thing that people don't want to do because it doesn't make sense mentally. But the second part of it is I'm picking up that energy of sadness from you. So I feel like you're still holding and carrying a lot of it, and you have not processed it out of your system. So the thing for you, the key is going to be to process the sadness. So really understanding you're holding on to this feeling. Now, a lot of this energy will be directed back to your parents, that you have issues with them,
yeah,
and anger toward them that is unresolved.
I'm not an angry person. That's one thing I haven't been my whole life. I'm not an angry person. Now, whether I bring that in and get depressed, I don't know, but I'm not an angry person.
Well, you don't have to be an angry person to hold anger.
Okay, got it.
You know, see what I'm saying? You don't have to be like an overtly angry person. But you're a person who, what I'm picking up from you is you're a person who basically has learned to push down these emotions and feelings because you expressing yourself is something that I don't think you were able to do when you were younger.
So, no, not at all. Not at
so
all.
That's where,
right.
So that's where it is. So that's why, you know, you learned how to repress, which that was me. And now all of a sudden when these feelings come up, it's like I don't know what to do with them because I wasn't allowed to let them go.
Yes.
So
yes.
My what excuse me?
No, yeah, I'm listening. Go on.
Oh, so now what I would suggest you is to allow yourself to feel those feelings.
Oof. Okay.
That's the healing process I use with people. So I teach them how to go through and heal and go through that process. So if you go to my website, if you go to joenuns.com, right on the bottom of the front, there's a free webinar. It's a Change Your Energy, Change Your Life webinar. You can download it for free. You can listen to it online. It kind of starts to take you through how to do this. So I would suggest you do that. It'll kind of start to give you some tools and some processes that you can begin to use to release this energy that you're holding. And then also allow yourself to just say, yeah, I have this emotion. One thing we don't want to do, Donna, is judge the emotion as good or bad. It just simply is what it is. If you're upset, if you're angry, whatever that is, that's an emotion that you need to deal with. So don't make it good or bad, right or wrong. Just say, okay, this is how I feel. I need to let this go. And that's the beginning of your healing process. And then that will be, that's how you'll dissolve all that sadness that you're carrying around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I don't like the sadness, definitely. How do you spell out your webpage, Joe, and then how do you spell your last name?
It's just joenunz.com.
N-U-N-Z.com.
Yeah, Joe, N-U-N-Z. joenunz.com.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's simple. Okay. Terrific. I'll go to that and download that.
Yeah, and that'll help
so
you.
Helpful.
Like, and then if you have any questions, let me know, but that'll be a good starting point.
Oh, I will, and that's so nice of you to do that, to offer that to people. I appreciate that.
Oh, yes. We want to help people, you know, start to move to higher levels and remove any resistance. So, therefore, by doing that and just allowing you to just get it, it gets people started.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate you being open.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Donna. I appreciate you bringing that out into the light.
Okay, thank you, David.
Yeah, because I think there's so many people out there that struggle with weight, and, you know, it's such a difficult thing because we need to eat to live, and yet it's a way that we can self-medicate ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, we're spending billions of dollars every year on weight loss, and the obesity rate keeps going up, so there's some disconnect there, and the disconnect is the emotional component. That's really what we're missing.
Well, Donna, thank you again for calling, and have a good night, honey.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Well, Joe, you know, one of the topics that you had mentioned to me when you sent me an email was why is your success in all your emotions? I wondered if we could talk a little bit about that, since we kind of touched on that a little bit as far as what Donna was just talking about.
So you mean why your success is tied to your emotion?
Yes.
Is that the question? Yeah. So basically everything that's happening for us is emotional, and how we feel is everything. And I'll give you an example. I may work with someone, which I have, Wall Street guys I worked with who were making $5 million a year who felt like they were unsuccessful because they knew guys who were making $20 million a year. And then I met people who were working manual labor jobs and had a nice family that they were able to and very close and a lot of love, and they were making $30,000-$40,000 a year, and they felt great about themselves. So, you know, success is a feeling. It's a feeling of, again, it goes back to this self-love feeling to say, you know, we are not, we measure ourselves, and society has taught us to measure ourselves based on our checkbook, and instead of measuring ourselves on how we feel and what we're doing and how we're sharing ourselves and how we're making the world a better place. And this is, again, disconnecting from the attachment to what we see as success. I always ask people, what do you think of success to be? And a person who is more what I would call third dimensional, is going to give me all the physical world stuff, and a person who's at a higher level is going to give me different answers. They're going to talk about, you know, helping people, sharing. But again, also understand that you're allowed to receive and you're allowed to have a nice life too. So these are not, you know, it's not either or. It's like I want to be successful and happy, and then I want to help other people do the same. And this is how we get to a greater good energy where everybody's helping each other. That's how we elevate the consciousness of the planet, not by saying, I have my own agenda, I want to get mine, and I don't care about everybody else. We have lived in that society basically for thousands of years, and now we're finally starting to change and shift out of it, and it's going to be a very interesting time as we shift from where we are to a greater good energy, but it's going to be a fun ride.
I totally agree with you. Well, it's amazing what our emotions can do to us, I'm really intrigued by the notion that we come here in this life to experience certain. It sounds like what you were saying is that we come here to experience certain profound emotions. And that those are the ones that we focus on when we come into this life?
Yeah, well, we all feel the same feelings because we've all felt abandoned, we've all felt disappointed, we've all felt everything. But there are certain ones that I look at as each person has more intense versions of. So somebody may have come to feel tremendous feelings of abandonment. So their life is going to be more in that direction. Somebody else, like I said, could have a feeling of disappointment or whatever, different emotions that we came to really feel at higher levels or deeper levels. So it's just looking at each person's karmic journey, and each person came to deal with these different emotional issues and feelings. So it's once we understand that and we accept it, everything makes sense. You say, oh, okay, now once I learned all these things and I started doing the work, I said, oh, okay, now this I understand it because I came to do this. See, it also removes the resistance of people saying, I can't get a break and everything is so difficult, and why do I keep coming here, coming back to this same place? Because you're not understanding that there's a purpose behind it. See, it just changes the framing.
I see. Okay. That makes sense to me, too. What else would you like to talk about tonight, Joe?
Well, you know, I think right now, I think people want to understand we're going through a lot of big energetic shifts as we get to the end of this year. We had a big one on 10-10. We have another big one on 11-11. And we have another big one on 12-12. And these are big energetic openings or portal openings, as they're called, where energy comes in. So these are all times where we have opportunities to elevate ourselves and move ourselves up the ladder, so to speak. And again, we have free will as humans. So it's important for us to say, you know, I want to begin to elevate, and the way I'm going to do that is by there's really two things that you can do right away that will help you, but they're very challenging. So the first one would be stop being so judgmental, because the judgment really blocks a lot of your energy flow. And meaning in the world of energy, there is no good, bad, right, wrong. There just simply is. And when we keep judging and judging and judging, we're lowering our vibration of energy, and we're also blocking flow. So that's one of the things that we really do that create a lot of problems. So I always tell people, you know, how judgmental were you today? And, you know, if you're really going to be honest, you know, most people are very judgmental. And it does create a lot of blocking. And I always ask people, oh, look at your household. Did you come out of a very judgmental household? And they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, oh, yeah, this is what was constantly happening and this is what was going on. So you pick that up from your home. And the other thing that really creates a lot of problems for people is expectation. By placing expectation on other people based on what you feel they should be doing is another area where you cause yourself a lot of distress and a lot of stress. So you want to be aware of this and say, okay, do I do that? Am I constantly placing expectations? And the funny thing about it is people will place expectations on other people based on their behavior, but that their behavior has always been consistent. So I laugh because I say, you're mad at this person for being late when you know them for 20 years and they've never been on time. So why do you expect them to be on time? So again, but it creates distress. So the better question is, if I'm going to choose to be friends with this person, I have to accept that they're going to be late.
Well, when we place expectations on other people, isn't it often because we're doing that to ourselves?
Yeah, but also it's about creating standards that we feel like I may do something a certain way, and I may feel that everybody should do it that way. But that's me. You see, so I'm saying I'm always on time because that's my I believe in that, and this other person doesn't. So that's fine. It's fine for them not to be on time. I have a choice to say I'm going to choose not to get involved with you. See, so but don't keep getting involved with that person and then complaining because you already know they're going to be late. See, so this is, again, how you perpetuate negativity in your life because you hang around people or get put yourself in circumstances that are negative that you already know are going to be negative, but you keep going in and I don't know, for some reason, expecting it to be different or hoping it will be different. But the bottom line is you're doing that to yourself to hold yourself in a certain level of energy. So this is, again, part of you being empowered and saying, okay, if I choose to be friends with this person, I accept this, or I can choose to say I'm not going to be, make plans with them anymore. That's your decision, and you have that's your power. So this is where people, where we want to live at a higher level.
Well, I think the key word that I heard a couple of key words, certainly acceptance is so important, but the word choice is so powerful too.
Yeah, because everything really is a choice. So when people say, I have to do X, I'm like, well, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do anything. You're choosing to do it. But, you know, people don't see it that way. And the minute they do, they don't see it as a choice. They take away all their power because now they're seeing themselves as they're pawns and they can't do anything. I'm like, no, you have a choice to do X. You have a choice to get up and not go to work today. People say, no, I have to go to work. I have to pay my bills. I said, you're choosing to go. You don't have to go. See, these are little tweaks in the way you see the world that help you become empowered. But, you know, people will argue with me to no end to say, no, you're wrong. I have to go to work. I'm saying, okay, fine. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm trying to give you a different perspective. But there are people who they're so hell-bent on holding those perspectives and beliefs that they refuse to go forward, and that's where they get stuck.
Well, being stuck is not a good feeling.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Tell me, let's talk about a couple of your other books. We have time. I'm interested in hearing about Karma Buster and Spiritual Selling.
Well, Spiritual Selling was what I did in 2007. It came out. So I have a sales and marketing background. So that's really my background for when I started out, you know, work-wise. So eventually, as I started learning metaphysical principles and energy principles, I started to apply. Because, you know, when you go into the world of selling, and especially being a New Yorker, you know, it was hardcore. I mean, it was go out there and, you know, get them to, you know, this is what you do, and you force them to sign a contract, and you make sure they do. So after, you know, that never never felt good to me. I said, I don't really, you know, I want to force people to do something. Certainly want to make a sale, but I don't want to force it. So I started to do this work, and I was really doing it for personal reasons to help my own self. And then I started to apply the principles of energy into sales. I started to say, I'm going to use these principles because they're universal energetic principles. They'll work anywhere. And that's just what I started to do. I just started to apply those principles into sales and started to focus my energy on the kind of clients I wanted to work with, the kind of experiences I wanted to have, the kind of relationships I was looking to build, how I was looking to help these other people in their businesses or whatever it is that I was selling. And it completely shifted how I operated. So instead of me worrying about, you know, the deadline and the numbers and making the sale, it was more like, hey, I'm just going to go out there and just share with people and help people and look to connect. And it just completely shifted how I worked, and it changed. It just took me to a nice flowing state of selling as opposed to, you know, this grind and pressure and all these different feelings of anxiety. And that was kind of the genesis of Spiritual Selling, was to get people to understand that selling is part of life. We're always all selling, whether we like it or not. So, you know, you're trying to get a date, you're selling. You know, you're trying to buy a car, you're selling, or trying to sell them on something else, or you're trying to get a job, you're selling yourself. So you're always in a state of selling. You know, you're trying to get your kids to eat healthy, you're selling. So it's a matter of how do you do it versus you're doing it anyway. This is a matter of how do you do it and how can you do it in a way that aligns with your beliefs and how you want to conduct yourself.
And what about Karma Buster?
So Karma Buster was the book I wrote after that, and that book was really about helping people identify what we're talking about a little bit today here, which is these cycles and what we call it in karmic world, you call it a karmic wheel. So a karmic wheel would basically be the cycles that we brought into this lifetime. So, for example, the cycle of abandonment, the cycle of, as we had our caller today, Donna, talking about the sadness that she's holding, these cycles of karma that we hold and bring into this lifetime, and looking at how the wheel, I actually show people in the book how the wheel goes around and how you keep yourself on that karmic wheel. And as you keep yourself on that wheel, you keep cycling it around and around and around. I think of it as, I always say, it's bad recycling. I'm recycling bad energy and I keep doing the same thing. So what Karma Buster shows people is how to identify your karmic wheel or wheels, because we all have more than one, and then how to stop the cycles from continuing, but understanding they are karmic. And again, they're part of your journey and they're part of what you came to learn. So not seeing it as a negative, but just saying, oh, okay, this is what I came to learn, but I need to have the tools to break it. And that to me is the key to this work. And I think a lot of the work that I've seen over the years is esoteric. It's interesting, but this is what bothered me about it, because it was esoteric and I didn't know what to do with it. I was more of a nuts and bolts practical person. So I started to learn tools, techniques, things I could do to start making these changes. So to me, that's where we're at right now, is we want to start giving people tools that they can use to empower themselves to clear their energy. When I work with a client, my job is to empower them to say, hey, you can go do this yourself. You don't need me anymore. And then you can go help somebody else, because that's how we're going to make the world better. Not by me saying, you have to. I'm not the Wizard of Oz. I don't want to be the Wizard of Oz. I want you to say, hey, I'm Yoda. I want to make you a Jedi, and then you go out and help other people. So that's the philosophy. And those are the kind of people you want to work with. You want to work with people who are looking to empower you. Those are the kind. So that's important for people. You're out here, you're listening to a show like this, you're looking for people to work with or get involved with, make sure that that person's agenda is not, I'm looking to take all your money as much as I can, like we have these, you know, the hokey psychics, right? They want to keep taking all your money until you have no money left to make believe that the next time you come, I'm going to give you the golden keys. No, I'm here to empower you to do this yourself so you can empower somebody else.
Beautiful. Well, I'm wondering if at a spiritual level, if we're able to break free of the negative patterns that we've established in this life that have come from other lifetimes, if that spells out the end of the karmic wheel for us, if that ultimately frees us from having to reincarnate.
Well, the reincarnation, you know, there's a lot of theories, and I talked to, you know, I've gone through a lot. A lot of people like to keep coming here because, I'll tell you, one of my fabulous teachers who was an enlightened master told me, she said, people like to keep coming here because they're bored on the other side. So, which I thought was pretty funny,
yeah.
Because she said they're kind of bored. She said because they're over there and there's nothing to do, and after a while it's kind of like it's all love and positivity and it's boring. So they want to come here to have this crazy experience that we're having here in the physical world. So a lot of people who do not have to reincarnate keep coming back to do it again and just kind of go through the process. And other people come to be teachers, like I have in this lifetime, or other people like yourself who are coming here to be messengers and give information. So, you know, it's an interesting topic, because I've heard different parts of it, and other people do not have to come back. They say, well, I've done what I had to do, and now I can go off and do something else. So I guess when we all cross over, we'll get the real goods. But as far as I know, I've heard that a lot and talked to a lot of people and been in my own meditation classes and meditations myself and said, oh, okay, this is interesting. We get to keep coming back here and fooling around, so to speak.
Well, I had another person that gave me a unique twist on that question, and that was that for some of us, we come back because we have fun here.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, one of the teachers I had used to say, think of this like Cheers. Like, that's why you come. It's like you're coming to cheer. You're coming here like going to the bar to have a drink. So that's kind of how they described it, which I thought was pretty funny. But, yeah, it's very interesting. You know, it's kind of, again, it's a place where we come to have an experience. I think if we see it as a place where we come to have an experience rather than attaching all this ego to it, it changes the experience a lot.
Well, we have just about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else, any other message that you'd like to deliver today?
Well, you know, I just wanted, there's a couple of things right now, especially what we're seeing in society, and we're seeing it come to fruition as right now it's a time as of the, what we call the veils being lifted, meaning all these things that people have been doing that nobody knew about, all these horrible things that they've been perpetuating are not going to continue. We're seeing this with Harvey Weinstein, which has now created, you know, really started, you know, with the whole Fox thing and, you know, with all, and then O'Reilly and one after Cosby, really, even back then. So all these different things that are starting to come out because all these truth is, and these veils are being removed, and the transparency is where we're going now to say, you know, you have to do things a certain way. You have to operate from a certain position. These people who held power and kept people down and did all these things are starting to go away. So the key for us now is, excuse me, to be in our truth. Meaning, if there's certain things about yourself, and we all have things that we don't like, be in my truth. If I'm having a feeling that is not positive, just own it. Be in your. The more you live in your truth, the easier this is going to be. And living in the physical world, where we have a yin-yang, positive-negative charge of energy, there's no way you can be positive all the time. And there's no way you will have positive feelings all the time. And there will be certain times where you will have negative feelings towards others. And it was funny, doing this work, you know, being spiritual, quote unquote, you start to think, well, I'm not allowed to have a negative feeling. And then as I did the work, I started to learn, no, that's never going to happen here. That's never going to happen to you here in the physical world. You will never be in a situation where you have only positive feelings. So accept that. And accept that you're human, you're going to go back and forth, you're living at your highest level, you always want to be there, but you're going to have times when you have to deal with negativity or things that get you upset. The more you live in your truth, the faster you will go. The more you live in denial and resistance, the slower you will go. So it's very simple. I have a little scale in my spiritual selling book, and it says I'm on this side of the line or the other. So I'm in acceptance and love, or resistance and fear. So all you have to do all day is say to yourself, where am I? Am I here or am I here? You can't be in both places at once. So monitor yourself and adjust throughout the day, and then you can really move yourself forward much, much faster.
Well, that's a beautiful message, and I think that's a great place to end, Joe.
Well, David, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me and sharing your energy with me.
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you, and thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
You do the same. So once again, we come to a close. Now let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.